Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, Showtime Sports President Steven Espinosa stops by the show to give us an update on Showtime Boxing and their merger with Paramount Plus. Plus, we talk Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis, and a slew of other big fights that are coming for Showtime. We will also talk about Naoya Inoue taking on Stephen Fulton. It's going down May 7th on ESPN Plus. And we'll also preview Tim Tszyu versus Tony Harrison. Let's go. What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Inside Boxing Live. This is a product of John Boy Media. I am Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri on location. Looks like he's in an interrogation room. Chris, what's going on? Where are you this week?
I'm in Tampa working for the Pro Box TV shows. We have a fight coming out of Sinaloa, Mexico on Wednesday. So we're down here at the Pro Box TV Worldwide Studios to shoot some content leading up to the fights, did the fire meetings, and then we have the fights on Wednesday themselves that we're going to be calling from in the studio.
So it's you, Mike Goldberg, and Paulie Malignaggi, right?
Mike Goldie Goldberg, Paulie the Magic Man Malignaggi, and myself.
How's Paulie doing these days?
He's excellent, man. I mean, he's a pleasure to work with. He really is fantastic on the mic. And we spend like 3 days together at each one of these shows, and we're shooting a ton of content, which is going to be rolling out soon. So we're going to... If you missed Paul, you're going to see a lot of him. If you don't see enough of me, you're going to see even more. So we got a lot of stuff coming down the pipe.
Me and Paulie have a little bit of a history, a little bit of a beef. Do you know that?
Oh, well, Paulie's had beef with most people in the sport.
Right.
I think I'm one of the only guys.
Yeah. It's more of a beef with CompuBox than it is with me personally.
Well, it seems like a lot of fighters have beef with CompuBox one way or another.
Right. He didn't like the stats after that Pablo Cano loss. Jim Gray asked us for the numbers, and Paulie was outlanded by 100 shot punches. Jim Gray asked for the numbers, and he goes into the ring after the fight and goes, "You were outlanded by X amount of punches, 100 punches, but you still got the win." And Paulie's like, forget them, CompuBox. They need lens crafters. And if you know my dad, he does not like any criticism about his baby, which is CompuBox. So they had some arguments, and I like Paulie. I would like to bury the hatchet with him, and maybe we can orchestrate such a meetup.
I could potentially be the bridge for that reconciliation, or I could be the bridge for that argument.
I grew up on Long Island in New York as an Italian man, boxing fan. I looked up to Paulie Malignaggi. Like, this guy's Italian, looks like me and my friends. He's taking on killer after killer. He's going up against these punchers. He's not a big puncher. He's going into the lion's den. I was there for his fight with Cotto. I was there for his fight with Khan. Like, I had a ton of respect for him, but, it, you know, this thing's happened. You know, he's used the stats to try to get a rematch with Juan Diaz. He used the stats for that. He, like, put him up on a big thing, but then when it didn't make him look good, is that what happens in a lot of times. You get emotional after a fight.
Well, I'm going to say, like your dad said, you know, he doesn't like any negative talk about his baby. Well, Paulie is his own baby. His boxing career is his baby. So, I mean, if the facts are not going to help him, of course, you know, I mean, I would do the same thing.
It was a long time ago, man.
In his defense.
It was like 10 years ago. I'm sure cooler heads have prevailed. I'd like to see what's going on with Mr. Malignaggi. Also, how was the birthday, man?
I was good. It was good. It was very chill. Didn't do a whole lot. That's the kind of what I like to do with my birthday. At this stage of my life, I'm not trying to go out and party, or I want to wake up feeling good on on the day of my next year moving forward. So
I saw you cooked. Would you have some? Wasn't steak, right? Steak is just not enough for you.
Steak.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I saw something else on Instagram. Was that like maybe it was a repost of someone else cooking something from the Fighter's Kitchen book plug?
Oh yeah, that was it. Yeah, a cousin of mine was posting some venison steak tips that he had made. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I saw Creed this weekend.
Oh, how was that?
Good. I gave it a solid 7.4 out of 10.
Solid, respectable.
Really good. I mean, the fight scenes were good. The only thing was silly was the plot a little bit. Like, you know, I'm not giving away anything. You know this from watching the trailers. Like, he fights, his main foe in this is a guy that he grew up with. And the guy makes his professional debut and fights for the heavyweight title. So that yeah. type of stuff, like, is a little silly. But I
saw if Lomachenko couldn't do it, I don't think this guy could
that's
either.
Someone clapped back at me on Twitter. I was like, well, Lomachenko fought, but I think it was his second pro fight. And he lost his pro fight, but he also had like 400 amateur fights. This guy, Jonathan Majors' right. character, was in prison. But that's what you're going to get with some Rocky movies. So after me and Chris chop it up, we will get to our interview with Steven Espinosa. A really fun one, talking about the state of Showtime Boxing. There's a lot of rumors out there with their merger with Paramount Plus. Will there be Showtime Boxing after 35 plus years of being in the game? Just like HBO, they just disappeared one day. He assures us that there will be Showtime Boxing, but it's just going to look a little different. It's going to be on an app, and that's a fun interview coming up next. Chris, did you see May 7th, Naoya Inoue, Stephen Fulton? It's official. It's official. It's official.
Did I see? Of course I did. This is something that we've been talking about for so long. It's exciting news. I think I was geeked immediately when I saw it on Instagram, and I don't know if I sent it to you right away, but because I knew you see it, you always see everything before me anyway. Mm. I send you things. I'm like, why did I even do that? I know you saw it. You live on the Twitter sphere of the boxing world. But yeah, this is something we've been talking about for months, and it's a fight that a lot of people didn't think it was going to happen because Stephen Fulton was moving up as Inoue was moving up, and I said it. We can go back through the archives. I thought this fight was going to happen. And now we're here, and I think it's a great opportunity. I think it's a perfect time, and it's a very interesting fight. We're gonna break it down a lot as we get closer to it. But with the boxing world should rejoice because this is a fantastic matchup and a fight that's really really matters.
This is a fight that you can't say enough good things about it. You know, sometimes we struggle to find the good things, the silver linings, in some of these fights and some of the news that comes out of the boxing world. This right here is everything that's pure. About boxing. This is best versus best. This is undefeated fighters. These are fighters taking risks. These are fighters moving up in weight. These are fighters going across the world into uncharted territory or places that they wouldn't dream to go in Fulton going over to Japan. This represents all that is good with boxing. Like you said, Chris, I do agree. Like, I honestly didn't think it was going to happen. I thought the promotional games were going to get in the way of this. Stephen Fulton is one of the PBC's brightest stars. He is the one guy that you can build around. So I said, no way will he jump over and potentially fight on ESPN Plus. No way would Heyman or PBC or all the guys that are on the PBC side allow for such a thing. But no. Fulton really pushed for this fight. He really wanted to go over there. And you look on the other side of things. Naoya Inoue jumping up to 122, a new weight class for him. This will be his fourth weight class. And is he taking a soft touch first? No. Is he taking on someone, let me get used to this weight? No, I'll just go ahead and take on the best at 122. Best versus best. I love this fight. There are enough good enough things to say about it.
100%. Everything. I agree with everything you said about this fight. The number one thing that's missing in sport today, aside from all the other stuff outside of the ring, the promotions, the networks, all the stuff that, you know, the blockades for making these big fight matchups, the cross promotional issues, blah, blah, blah. The number one thing that's affecting this sport today is guys not daring to be great. This is an opportunity for these fighters to dare to be great for all the reasons that you just said. Jumping up in weight, not taking an easy touch, going right to the top dog around. Staying in a weight class and putting your O on the line to fight this killer who's coming up. I mean, it's awesome. This is what boxing is all about. Two men daring to be great, really putting their records and their legacies on the line against each other, against the toughest fight matches that can be made. This is a fighter's dream fight. I mean, from either man's perspective, these are the fights that we want. I say this all the time. A lot of people are like, oh, he's ducking. That guy's afraid of that. Get out of here. We're not ducking. Not nobody. We want these big fights. We want to be in these legacy-style fights. Daring to be great is what it's about. And the fact that Stephen Fulton is not allowing anything to get in the way of that shows you that a lot of the power is in the fighters' hands, and we really can make these fights happen if they really want them. And Stephen Fulton really wants this fight. I think he believes in his skills and his ability and his timing for this fight. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great matchup. These guys aren't old. We got two guys in their primes who are matching up, and they match up in such a great way in terms of boxer versus puncher, or boxer puncher versus boxer. And primetime guys. This is awesome.
It's going to be May 7th. It's going to be early in the morning. That's the only one beef, I guess, with this fight. I love getting up early and watching. It's going to be on a Sunday morning this time. Not usually. Inoue's been fighting during the week, his last couple of fights. But it's probably like a 7 a.m. Eastern start. ESPN Plus. I'm pretty sure it's not a pay-per-view. That's a big win. Shout out to Stephen Fulton, like you said, and the PBC. Like, they get a lot of flack. For, their PBC is going to get in the way of this fight being made. They're never going to let one of their guys go and fight on whatever enemy across the street. But it just shows you, like you said, if the fighter wants it, they could make it happen. Same thing with Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis. You'll hear this from Steven Espinosa in just a bit. Both guys really wanted that fight. They were not letting it slip away. I think that was the case with Fulton. I think he's thinking, right now is my time. Like, I'll go after this guy. In his first fight at 122, I'm on a roll. I've had four or five great performances in a row now. I'm in the prime of my career. This is when they should be fighting, not when they're on the north side of 30. But check this out from Stephen Fulton. I think he's the best 122-pounder in the world right now. His last six opponents, if you count Naoya Inoue, 102-3-3. And the three losses were all Daniel Roman's. Well, two losses. He gave Daniel Roman his third loss. So they all came from one guy. So for the most part, his last five opponents have all been undefeated, have all either been champs or guys are top prospects that he's had to knock off. So he's earned this shot, and he's earned this spot, Fulton, 100%.
Yeah, but he's not earning the shot, really. I mean, Inoue's coming up to fight him. You know, it's Inoue's taking the shot at the champ. So he's earned the opportunity for sure. I mean, and to make some real money at the lighter weights, you know, you have to make big fights. That's one of the reasons why the smaller weights get unfortunately looked over, is because then we do have huge fights in them. We have for decades. Because there's the talent pool is not as great. The opportunity to make money is not that as often. So you get these guys making these big matchups where they're really risky fights because listen, that's how you get paid in these lower weight classes. Thank God these guys are getting paid more now. But this has got to be one of the biggest money fights that can be made south of 126.
Yeah, that's why it's in Japan, too. I've gotten a few questions like, oh, why? Like, Inoue always fights in Japan. He's one of the biggest stars there. It's money. Yeah. Like, Stephen Fulton's like, I want to make the most money I possibly can.
I'll go over there.
So I will go to Japan, which is admirable for him. And it's also just makes business sense.
I did the same thing with Pacquiao and Macau. Why is Chris fighting in Macau? He's a ticket seller and does really well in New York. Why bring him over there? It's like, well, we make more money over there. So, yeah. And when we're talking about like these fighters who want to make this fight, I was that guy too. I was able to fight on so many different networks and so many different against different guys because I always wanted the. I didn't have a huge promotional team behind me to kind of block me from all that.
Yeah.
But listen, I wanted the fights. I could have easily said that, oh, we can't make that fight happen because of this. No, I wanted the fights. I wanted those big opportunities. I wanted that big money. So it's cool to see these guys using their power, using their leverage.
How about Inoue? Let's get into him for a second. 25 pro fights. This will be his 20th consecutive title fight. That's absurd.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And so now crazy. He'll be going up to his fourth weight class. He's won titles in three different weight classes. And what I really love about this fight is, like, the stakes are so high. And if Fulton wins, he beats a consensus top three pound-for-pound guy in Inoue, right? You got Inoue in your top three? I think everyone can agree that Inoue is at least in the top four, wherever you have these guys, one, two, three, four.
He's got to be knocking on that gold, silver, bronze debate.
Exactly.
You know, if you don't have him there, then like, you know, he's at least knocking on it.
You know, I'm not a big pound for pound guy, but what I do subscribe to is like the Mount Rushmore. Like, who are the top four fighters today? And I would say that Inoue is definitely one of them. So Fulton can knock off Inoue, which would be a huge win. Probably one of the better wins of the last 10 years on his home turf with all Inoue's doing, knocking guys out left and right. Fulton catapults into the top five, top three, arguably. Then you go to the flip side to Inoue. Inoue, to me, it's consensus top four. But to others, there is still a little bit of like, okay, who is this guy exactly? I wasn't familiar with the lower weights. I didn't watch a lot of his fights because, you know, those first 20 fights were all in Japan. Heard about him. Who was he beat? If he beats Fulton and he does it convincingly, let's just say he stops him, he's solidified, in my opinion, as number one. So that right there, both guys, can really cement themselves as greats of this era.
Yeah, it's going to be a super hard argument for casuals and people outside of the very, very tightest of the boxing circles, just because of all the things you said in terms of the lighter weight. People haven't really seen him that often. It's going to be hard for people to swallow the fact that you're going to bump a Crawford or Canelo and you know, with this win here. So I'll definitely give you some pushback on that. But in terms of what he's done, what he's accomplished, and who he's going to be beating, Volta is kind of tough because you got to look past the numbers. Unless you're a true boxing head, you may not know that much about Volta or the guys that he's beaten in order to get here. His record obviously is undefeated, but it's not like one of those Sterling records, like in a way where it's like 25-0 with 23 knockouts. And, you know, Fulton's not a power puncher like that. But if you look beyond those numbers and see the guys that he's beaten, especially in his last however many fights you just said, this does catapult in a way deep into that conversation of pound for pound greatness. Number one.
This fight has a lot of buzz, man. I mean, this fight has a lot of, I think it's one of the most buzzed about fights in a long time. This isn't the ultimate sign of how big a fight is, but when I put it on anything about it on Twitter, the numbers are just flying because there's a lot of interest in it. And it's the right time, and it's has all the elements that we just gushed on over and over. In terms of the numbers, Fulton he throws a lot of punches. He's a volume puncher. Over his last five fights, it's 61 thrown. But in some of those, the Angelo Leo performance, the Brandon Figueroa performance, he was averaging like 90 punches a round. I'm interested to see if he can do that against Inoue. I don't think he'll do that. I think he'll box more.
You can't
more.
Do that with a puncher.
Right. He'll
can't
box more, right? He's got to box more, and he's got to use his size and use his jab.
Yeah, I agree. Size is going to be big here. And size, again, this is going to look beyond the numbers. So Fulton, bigger man, been fighting at 22. Inoue's first fight fighting up to 22 in his fourth weight class. Fulton was on his way to 26. So he's going to be a really big 22.
Yep.
So he's almost like a tweener now between 22 and 26, because I think he would do very well at 26 as well. And I think even after this fight, if he decides to move up, which he probably will, he'll do very well at 26 unless we get a rematch situation. But so it's an extra big 22-pounder based on the fact that Inoue's coming up and Fulton is technically, you know, coming back down because he was on his way up already. So and when you got a guy who has the boxing skills and is tricky, like Fulton is, I mean, that's the kind of style, and I've been saying this for months, that's the kind of style that would give the style of Inoue trouble. If he can deal with the power, which is a big if, because Inoue has atomic bombs for fists, this is a very, very interesting fight because of their style matchup, which is something we'll break down as we get closer to our fight night.
Yeah, both fighters land over 40% of their power shots. Inoue is one of the most precise power punchers in all of boxing. He has one of the higher KO
and
rates.
And devastating.
Yeah, one of the higher KO rates in all of boxing. Has literally every punch in the book. Like goes over six jabs landed around, which is a lot in today's world in terms of jabs. It's everything. It's everything you want in a fight. Can't wait to dive into it even more. It's May 7th on ESPN+. Plus. This weekend over on Showtime. Showtime is in the middle of a pretty big rollout. We're going to see Tony Harrison traveling to Australia to take on Tim Zhu. Harrison is filling in or stepping in for the injured Jermell Charlo. This was supposed to be Zhu Charlo. It was supposed to happen in January. But I love this. You got to think Zhu was like, know what? I don't want a soft touch. I don't want just any replacement. Give me the next best guy at 154, and that's Tony Harrison, who at one time was a world titleist at 154, beat Jermell Charlo. Not a lot of guys can say that. This fight's really hard pick 'em. This is a really hard to pick fight, really hard to break down, because you can make a case for almost every single scenario happening in this fight.
I agree. Great fight. Awesome when a big fight, a good fight falls out, and then another good fight steps in its place. It's very rare to see. Tony Harrison is a consummate professional, world-class guy, will be a champion of my eyes no matter what. Great style, great boxing IQ, huge step up for Tim Zhu. And yeah, I mean, can Tony go over there and outbox him? Yep. Can Tony go out there and knock him out? Yep. can Zhu use his physical size and youth to beat Harrison, maybe even dominate him? Yup. Could he do it and stop him? Yup. That's everything can happen in this fight, and which makes it such an awesome fight. Gotta love pick 'em fights. From a stylistic standpoint, this is just gonna answer what Zhu's all about. I do think Zhu is a good fighter. I think he's, I would arguably say he's one of the best, if not the best technical fighter that's come out of Australia since his pops.
Wow.
So, you know, Australians are usually not known for being super technical, good boxing guys, good fundamentals. Zhu's got all of that. And he's physically strong. He's young. He's fresh. He's got a lot of momentum behind him. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Zhu, and I'm curious to see if he can overcome this obstacle, because Tony's no joke. Tony's going to bring things in terms of experience and boxing knowledge and boxing IQ that Zhu's probably never seen. I like the fact that Zhu was coming up the Terrell Gaucha fight, which is a good win, but it was a tough fight.
Did hit the canvas in that fight.
Yes, he did. And he got dropped with a guy who was throwing a technically superior punch. He saw Zeus lining up for his right hand. He pulled the bow and arrow. Both hands came open to throw his right hand. Gaucha got his head offline. Bang, put his right hand there, puts him on his butt. That's what Tony Carrison does all day. He's a technically superior boxer. And him being able to pull the trigger and fire those shots, that's what he's known for. Can he do it in this advanced age and at this stage of his career?
Can he
focus on this fight in his own career now that he's working as a trainer? He's been working with Alicia Baumgartner for her last couple fights now. He's putting, and we see him all the time. He's putting a lot of work into that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to switch gears, to be the coach, be so involved with someone else's career, and then come in and go to training camp and do what needs to be done in order to prepare for a 12-round championship fight across the world.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of questions on both sides. More Zhu because there's question marks of what he is and who he is. Tony, we kind of know exactly what's going on with him. It's just, can he overcome that?
Yeah, it's just like, I would say age and a little bit of, he's been active, but he took like 2 years off.
Now, he hasn't fought in almost 11 months.
Yeah, and he had, like, before that, he took a significant amount of time off between COVID mm-hmm. and just really, I think his father passed away. And then also he didn't, probably just, I won a title, I'm taking some time off. I made a good amount of money, and now he's thrust right back into it. If he wins this fight and beats Zhu, we're looking at Charlo Harrison 3, which would be interesting because he certainly deserved it. And Zhu, like you said, like, there were some question marks about Zhu after that Gaucho fight. Like, he went the distance. People were picking him to win by knockout. He had been stopping everyone. But him going down early, I think it was good for his development, but also it's like, all right, maybe let's pump the brakes a little bit on this guy. But I think if Zhu gets through this,
They went right to Charlo. Now.
Right. So. But yeah, he was waiting in line for it. I mean, he played that mandatory game and played the game to get that shot. But if should Zhu win, then he will 100% be ready for a fight with Jermell Charlo. And we're talking about how all these different outcomes. This is one of the harder fights to bet on. And I honestly don't even know if I'm going to touch this fight because there are so many different ways I think it can go. But if you are very confident in Harrison, I think that would be the play. Tony Harrison money line is plus 200. You get plus money on Harrison winning this fight. It's also down in Australia. I would say a knockout is probably unlikely or from Harrison. I would think if Harrison's going to win, it's going to go the distance. And then that's when the Australian judges come into play.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know about that.
When you add in those, that's why you're the betting guy. When you add in those tidbits of information, it becomes a very interesting conversation, and it makes it that much harder to see Harrison getting the win. Because Harrison, does he have the boxing skills to outbox Zhu? Most likely, yes. Can he do it for 12 rounds is a big question, because Zhu is bigger, younger, he's going to be bringing it. Make it to the 12 rounds and outboxes and uses his skills, will the judges recognize all the work that he's doing in there? So one will never know. Tough fight to bet on, like you said. Probably easier to go with the Zhu winning either
Zoo's
late round stoppage
or
by decision.
Yeah, Zhu to win is minus 265. They don't have – DraftKings doesn't have the props yet, but they'll have him up there. Oh, for my last three betting. I lost my last parlay again. I had Hurd, Resendez. I had over 8.5 this past weekend. Jared Hurd, tough guy. I've probably seen the last of him. And then I had Figueroa by TKO or stoppage over Magsayo. If Magsayo wasn't holding,
I said it. We spoke about that. I think that with that holding, that was able to keep him afloat, because Figueroa was really coming on late. The body shots were killing him, and that's why he was holding so much. And that's why I think, they're saying it was very one-sided in terms of The ref, I don't really believe that.
No, I thought the ref
easily was taking the proper points away. The one sidedness came from the judges, which were absolutely ridiculous. I thought that was a close fight.
It was not a 9-3 fight or 10-2 fight. That was 7-5 type of fight.
That fight broke open in the ninth round in terms of who was going to win. It was really, really, really tight.
Yeah.
Without the late charge by Figueroa, I had Maxaya win that fight. So those judges, that sucks. That's why we have the fights for a reason, because anything can happen. These judges seem like they packed in their car before the fight even started.
Yeah, that's what gives me pause with this Harrison Zhu fight in terms of betting. Like +200 for Harrison, that's probably what I would go with. You know that Harrison's going to want to control the fight, and he can do that. He only throws 42 punches around. 50% of his thrown punches are jabs. That's the fourth highest percentage among fighters at 154. So he's going to go in there and try to control it, Harrison. He's going to be the crafty veteran. He's going to, you know, land his power shots here and there, get in and out. And Zhu is a brawler. 60 punches a round, 40% of his power shots. 17 of his 19 landed punches per round are power shots. Barely throws a jab in there. So this is a fun fight. A lot of stakes. Winner probably gets Charlo at the end of this year, depending on how that hand comes into play. But if you had to give your pick for this fight, what would you go with?
I'm a fan of Tony Harrison. I'm gonna go with my heart, and I'm gonna go with the savvy vet using his skills. Hey, we talk about Tony's boxing skill. He can punch too. He got a lot of knockouts, and you know he's got legit power. So things that I saw in the Zhu first Gaucho fight, I think could really help Tony. If Tony shows up properly prepared and is focused on himself as being a champion again, I could see him winning this fight.
Yeah, so that's the fight this weekend over on Showtime. One last thing, going back to the point we had with Inoue and Fulton. We're about to embark on a pretty crazy stretch of boxing. March 25th, Benavidez Plant. April 16th, Ryan Garcia versus Tank Davis. May 7th, we got Inoue Fulton. Potentially May 20th, we have Haney Lomachenko. Throw in Zhang versus Joe Joyce. Canelo Alvarez is returning the weekend of Inoue Fulton, probably against John Ryder.
You forgot Canelo in there.
Well, that's the point. The main point I'm getting at is I just listed off like four really good fights that have nothing to do with the heavyweight division, and have nothing to do with Spence and Crawford, and have nothing to do with Canelo Alvarez. So that to me is
alive and well.
It goes through these lulls. It's hilarious. It could change on a dime. Like today we got Inoue Fulton announced, and then next thing you know, Haney Lomachenko get added to the already pretty good schedule, and now you're looking at one of the better 6 month runs in recent memory.
Boxing will never die. The true boxing heads really understand that. Yeah, we get broken down from time to time. You know, we had a rough end of last year, you and I.
Of course.
you look the most dejected I've ever seen. But
well, Spence Crawford killed, like, it just broke my will.
I know.
But apparently they're talking again. You see that?
Yeah, well,
they're like a on and off, like, couple. Like, oh, they're talking. Did you hear?
Well, yeah,
Spence and Crawford are talking on the phone.
It's Mayweather Pacquiao again. We'd love to do this with you ourselves, but listen, boxing is never going, it's not going anywhere. It's never going to die. It's one of the oldest, oldest sports and greatest sports in the world. So, it's nice when it's healthy, when boxing's healthy, there's a lot for us to do and a lot for us to talk about. And that's where we want to be moving forward. And this year is looking really good.
Mm-hmm. Spence and Crawford, the latest on them is that they are talking on the phone direct
to each other,
direct to each other. They have agreed to a purse split, and apparently this is what Coppage is reporting, and
this is new.
Yeah, this is they're having conversations, and Coppage is reporting that they agreed to everything. Crawford's still gonna fight Rocha next, and Spence is gonna fight Thurman next, and then should they both win, we could potentially see it at the end of the year. This is what I'm reading. I brought up to Espinoza later in this episode, and he was like, it's news to me. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Obviously, because they're talking to each other, right?
Yeah.
Utilizing anyone else. How is anyone else going to know what's going on?
He said news to me, but I would not be shocked, because he said the way that the negotiations left off, it never was like animosity. It was more like, we got to figure out a way to get this done, and it's still open. You know, it didn't end like completely.
The timeline makes sense.
But the fans might not be into it, but it has to happen this year.
they'll get reanimated by it. They will get. So will we. We'll have fresh blood in that. We'll be excited.
All right. Here is our interview, or my interview, with Showtime Sports President Stephen Espinosa. All right, we're being joined right now by Stephen Espinosa. He's the Showtime Sports President. He's the boss man. Makes a lot of important decisions. Always love catching up with you, Stephen. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing good. Busy over here at John Boy Offices. We got a big Blitzball tournament coming up. You know, it's not just boxing for us over here. Play a lot of different things over here. But the boxing world is heating up. We got a lot of fights being announced. We have a lot of fights coming down the pipeline. And I'll start it off with what everyone wants to know. And that is Showtime Boxing going anywhere?
No, I understand. Look, there's been a lot of change, a lot of, candidly bad news throughout the media industry and to some extent throughout the economy. But the media industry and the TV industry in particular is undergoing a fair amount of change. We're not immune. Obviously the Showtime streaming service is consolidating into Paramount Plus. But in terms of Showtime Sports and in particular Showtime Boxing, nothing has changed. As we sort of, as you can conclude from the recent schedule, we're full speed ahead. We've got the green light to continue what we've been doing. And I think that's evident from what we've scheduled this far. It's a really robust schedule. We're in the middle of 8 straight weeks of combat sports and boxing action in particular. And it's as busy a run and I think as solid as run as I've seen in quite some time here. And that's even without adding on some of our bigger stars who are going to be added on early in the summer, like the Charlos and Spence and others.
Yeah, it is quite a run, man. What is it, 8 fights in 9 weeks or 9 fights in 10 weeks? Some really good ones in there. Can you try to explain, like, it's hard for some fans to understand or it's hard for boxing fans to understand what this merger really means. Is there a way you can explain it in, like, sports terms for the sport fan?
Sports terms. look, I think... I'll try to make a sports analogy and probably, do a better job with a media analogy. I believe it's Fenway Sports Group, the sports entity that LeBron's a part of. That is an ownership group that has a number of different brands underneath it across different sports. European soccer, the Boston Red Sox, various sports properties under one brand. They're sort of run independently, but they have some of the shared administration and obviously are done cohesively. That's the sports analogy. The media analogy is probably Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And they're probably the best example of being able to sort of groom and cultivate and have multiple brands thriving under one app. So that's the simple terms of what's going on. Now, look, there obviously is some economic distress in the business overall. There have been a lot of layoffs across the industry. There have been some changes within our company, and that probably has caused some questions overall. But the reality, for us in sports, it's full speed ahead, and we are continuing to do what we've been doing, which I think it's fair to say is putting out, I think, the best domestic schedule there is in the sport.
Now, in terms of like the fights in say next year, what it looks like. So you're going to have an app next year. It's going to call Paramount with Showtime. That's how we're going to be watching Showtime Boxing right in the year 2024.
Yeah. It's sort of like, if you want to watch Hulu, you want to watch Marvel movies, you go in the Disney Plus app. Yeah. If you want to watch, Showtime and all the Showtime content or stream boxing, it'll be within the Paramount Plus app.
And then there'll be like a boxing section?
Yeah, well, there'll be a Showtime section because there's obviously a Paramount Plus subscription without Showtime, or you can have Paramount Plus with Showtime. But yes, there's a sports section, and in it we'll have, side by side all the great offerings that Paramount Plus and CBS Sports have, along with if you've got your Showtime subscription through there, the Showtime offering as well.
So obviously the PBC has such a big roster, and it pretty much has boiled down to a lot of the fights ending up on Showtime. They're no longer on Fox, for the most part, no longer on FS1. Could we see more dates now with a streaming service like Paramount being in the loop with Showtime, where we would see some of the fighters that we're only seeing maybe once a year? More dates. Are we going to see more dates now with Paramount Plus in the fold now?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I think the issue of dates isn't really so much in terms of networks as it is, other factors. Everyone has been asking where Jamal Charlo has been. People are anxious to see him back. Mm-hmm. The fact that he isn't back has nothing to do with the amount of dates. He had an injury, went through some personal stuff, and he's anxious to get back. But I think, if we look at it, we've got on our calendar already 14 boxing events in the first 6 months of the year.
Yeah.
Again, that's as busy as I can recall us being since I've been here, which is over 10 years. And I think there will be plenty of dates. Now, whether that expands further as we sort of become part of the Paramount Plus and CBS Sports ecosystem, mm-hmm. That remains to be seen. I certainly think that there's an openness to discuss it if there's an opportunity there.
I was thinking more like shows that we would have seen on FS1. They're not like top guys. They're like contender types of series, stuff like that. I was thinking.
Yeah, I think that's possible, and I think we could be seeing some extended distribution of sort of the streaming fights, mm-hmm. additional Paramount platforms. There's some really good fights. I mean, this past weekend we had Trayvon Marshall, Terrell Gaucher,
yep.
Two interesting fights, interesting names on the stream. And so, if anything, with all this talent, that stream is as good as anything on air. The names there and the fights there are as good as, most other televised undercards on other networks.
Yeah, it is nice the emphasis you guys put on the undercards, having Campbell in there and Luke Thomas calling them and having access for fans to watch those fights that are the first couple fights on the fight card, where I think fight fans really do appreciate that. So obviously there's a big commitment to boxing this year, 2023. I think it's the Beyond that has some of these bad reporting or some questions and all that, but can we say that we will see boxing on Showtime in some form after 2023?
Yeah, certainly that's our expectation. No one has told us any different. I think there's a lot of people out there with agendas in particular, or they're trying to connect, dots that aren't really going to be connected, and it's a little bit like reading the Fed minutes or listening to the Federal Reserve make statements. It's sort of like everybody hangs on one or two words or a particular phrase and tries to parse what that means for the next, year.
Yeah.
The reality here is, we are as busy as we've ever been, and that remains the case for the foreseeable future.
It must be pretty frustrating for you to read some of the tweets. You're on Twitter. You're in the trenches, seeing some of these reports or seeing some of these people who think there are authorities on things, and you're just like, I do want to respond. And you do respond. Like you will snipe in, but you're probably like, oh man, I really want to just hit everyone on Twitter right now and just be like, guys, like we're gonna be fine.
Yeah, I probably respond more than I should.
No, it's relatable. You're in the mix. It's good.
Yeah, I think there's some positive, but also you don't want to feed just these weird conspiracy theories or people, like I said, who are clearly rooting for us for some reason, not to go away. I think we're playing a critical role in the sport right now. And as a boxing fan, I sort of shudder to think what the boxing market would be without our activity in it, because we are providing some of the biggest fights and a lot of high quality content here. So it's sort of like, yeah, you have to consider the source. The knowledgeable people can sort of see the big picture and understand that, there are changes, but there are also indicators that the sport is doing very well with us. We don't come out with a schedule like this. We don't continue to add to it if, there's, immediate concerns about what the sport is doing for our business.
So what you're saying is Rick Glaser, not a reliable source?
Who?
Who is that guy? I mean, I think I've seen him once at a fight when I was like 15. And my dad was like, stay away, stay away from that guy.
I've heard rumors that I've actually never run across him.
Yeah, he might be a figment of our imagination. He might be a burner account for all we know. Let's get into the schedule. It's a fun one. This past weekend was a great triple header. All three fights were amazing. Now we go down to Australia. Tim Zhu, Tony Harrison. That's one of the bigger fights that I love on this rollout. Then we got Benavidez Plant 2 weeks from Saturday. I can't believe that fight snuck just sneaking right up on us. Sebastian Fundora was always in really fun fights. And then Gervonta Davis, Ryan Garcia, which we'll talk about in a second. And then we have some fights. Rolly Romero's back. And then Adames coming back. That's a pretty robust schedule. And it's a little bit of something for everyone. We got pay-per-views. We got big fights with high stakes. We have a guy in Tony Harrison stepping up to face Tim Zhu. There's a huge implications in that fight. The winner probably will see Jermell Charlo. Fun schedule. I think it's got some really good names on it.
Yeah, look, I want to revisit this past weekend because on paper it looked like some really interesting fights. And it's always gratifying when what you see on paper actually plays out the way you hope it will. And in particular, one of I think what boxing fans enjoy most is, discovering that new talent, is finding it. And, Elijah Garcia came into the fight with a little bit of buzz, a lot more buzz now. That is a high quality win for someone as young as he is. And it's the kind of performance that immediately sort of stamps him as somebody to watch, going forward. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that happen many times in the last couple of years, whether it's somebody like Isaac Cruz or like Jose Valenzuela or Chris Colbert or even Stephen Fulton over the last about 18 months. So look, that's sort of high praise for Elijah. I realize it's just one fight, but I think he's really, really promising. I mean, you could say the same thing for Armando Resendiz. And the fact that he put on that kind of performance, I thought Jared Hurd looked pretty good. He's just, outworked by a very, very tough Resendiz. And, not a lot of people knew his name coming into the fight. But again, it's the type of performance that makes you want to see those guys again.
Yeah, especially the middleweight division. It's just like, I talk about this all the time with my co-host, Chris Algieri. It's like the middleweight division forever is the glamour division in boxing. And it's right now it's a lot of it's got a lot of movement. You got Golovkin, what's going on with him? We haven't seen Charlo in a while. I know he will be coming back this summer. You got Janibek in there. There's room to move in the middleweight division. I think a lot of guys are circling some of the names on there. Let's talk about Gervonta Davis and Ryan Garcia. How close was this fight to falling through?
I never thought that it was really in jeopardy since we reached agreement back in the fall. I mean, obviously there were issues that needed ironed out. There always are. I was a little puzzled by all the public discourse and sort of the statements that sort of we, the promoters and the networks and the fighters, all got to a point where we had an agreement in principle such that everyone was comfortable with the fighters coming out and saying something, that we're in agreement, fight is on.
Yeah.
And then immediately you saw some of those same people who had approved the announcement start saying, well, wait a minute, we're not done, which was sort of puzzling to me. It's sort of like we all agreed that, fight was on and the fighters were going to say it. And then to hear people casting doubts from within the process immediately after that was sort of surprising and puzzling to me. But there were details to be worked out. Look, I'm not a fan of sort of the minute by minute, day by day updates on the negotiation. I think it puts a strain on the negotiation.
Yeah.
I realize fans want to know. I know that there's, developed a little tradition within sports. Part of the sport is actually understanding the business and following the business and some of the melodrama behind the scenes. I get that. But I think in this case, it was a little bit too soap opera. I think there was too much melodrama. I never felt that it was really at risk.
Yeah.
And in particular, I didn't think he was at risk because both Tank and Ryan were 1,000% committed to making the fight happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, this felt like the fighters really drove it. Like, they were not going to get out of the proverbial room. I know they weren't in a room together until it was made. They weren't going to let anything stop it. And I think they should be applauded for that. Like, especially, like, obviously Tank is way more established than Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia, I feel like, does not need to take this fight right now. He's the one that has, like, what, two fights in the last 2 years? Not on the same level as Tank, in my opinion. He really, really pushed for this fight, right?
Yeah. I mean, they both did. And there were multiple points where either of them could have gone in a different direction, you know, and it would have been a repeat of Spence Crawford with, you know, someone sort of, you know, leaving the process before it's done. But neither of those guys really ever entertained that. They were committed to the process. And I believe, you know, that's the right choice. It's the right fight at the right time. You know, yeah. It isn't late. It isn't early. This is, you know, the right time for this fight to be happening.
Oh, it's 100%. I mean, this is like almost the anti Mayweather Pacquiao. From a fan's perspective, I know from an executive standpoint, that was a wildly successful fight in terms of the money that it generated. But if you look at just like the fight fan, like they want to see two undefeated guys that are under 30 fighting, taking risks, getting in there and getting it on. Me and you have done a bunch of interviews on this topic, and you know, you have said in the past, like, it's a big fight. We don't feel like the Zone needs to be part of it. They are a part of it, but I feel like that aspect of the deal, and I know that there are some fans out there that follow along with the business side of things. What is the Zone's involvement in this? Is it going to be two separate pay-per-views? Not a joint pay-per-view, correct? And what is the Zone's?
It's not a joint pay-per-view. Essentially, they're helping distribute and sell the fight. It will be, you know, Showtime pay-per-view production. It will look like Showtime pay-per-view. It'll be Showtime pay-per-view announcers and the talent. You'll just be able to purchase it through the DAZN platform as well. So, you know, that seemed like, you know, an appropriate result in that they got more participation than they would otherwise have gotten. I mean, it's certainly not, you know, solely Showtime pay-per-view in terms of the distribution. They are one of the outlets that'll be selling that. So I think it was at least from my perspective, a good compromise.
Yeah. Was that, so it's not going to be like a DAZN telecast, like you're not going to see Mannix on it, or you're going to see great, like they're going to have their guys?
As much as I like Chris, no, you'll be seeing Jim Gray and the others.
Oh, Chris was in Creed. Did you see Creed 3 yet?
I did see Creed.
Let's get your official review of it.
As a business person, I thought their promotion was tremendous.
Yeah, it's breaking all sorts of records.
And it was everywhere. I mean, no matter where you turn, whether it's, you know, sports, TV, you know, non-sports, entertainment, you know, those guys in particular, Jonathan Majors and Michael B. Jordan, worked their tails off in terms of promoting it. Yeah. So good for them. You know, the story, I thought it was solid. Look, Michael B. Jordan is someone who is really committed to this. I don't know if he was a boxing fan before all these films. He certainly is now.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's got an appreciation for the sport with the care in which he handles it.
Yeah, that's what I came away with. A lot of things. Like, I thought it was really good. I came away with, like, Michael B. Jordan, like, respects boxing. Because he's not just, like, parachuting in and out, like, using you know, the Rocky franchise. You can tell he cares. I like to see Showtime was in it. They had the All Access. That was pretty cool. Had ESPN in it. They had the Zone in it. They played nice. They had everyone in it.
Yeah, there was. And, you know, David Benavidez in there. Like, there's, you know, good amount. You know, obviously, you know, Crawford in there, Lopez.
The only thing I didn't like is, and this comes with boxing movies, like Jonathan Majors' character, professional debut, he's fighting for the heavyweight title.
Yeah.
But like, I kind of have to roll my eyes. I saw it with my girlfriend and she's like, does that really happen? I was like, no, that never happens. We'll never see that.
Unless you're Francis Ngannou, maybe not.
Yeah, exactly. He might be coming into the boxing world. ESPN is reporting as of today that Spence and Crawford are now negotiating directly over the phone. This is nice. They've agreed to a purse split on the phone. They're going to take interim fights, though. Have you heard of this report and any truth to it? What's the latest? I can't do an interview with you if I don't bring up Spence and Crawford.
Actually, you're breaking news to me. I've been on phone calls all morning, so I hadn't seen that news. You know, look, I think the less that's said, the better. I mean, obviously, you know, there was a you know, full attempt to make this last fall, and it didn't quite work. I think, you know, the quieter it is and the less we say about it, the better. But that report is out there. I know that there have been attempts. You know, they never really stopped. I mean, obviously, Crawford went and did the Avanesian fight. You know, Spence, you know, attempted to take another fight, which got derailed by his car accident. But there have been, no one has given up. You know, no one in the process has given up. So I think those reports are sort of premature, significantly premature. But, you know, there have been ongoing discussions. And I think, look, if this thing were to not happen, I think everyone in here, and certainly my feeling, and I think a lot of the Spence side, if it's going to fall apart, no one's going to let it fall apart until they feel like they've exhausted every possible avenue to get this done. So, yes, it's been dragging on for a long time. Yes, people are frustrated. But the fact that, you know, there are still discussions shows that people are persistent. They realize the value of the fight, and there's still a lot of effort going into getting it made. So I'm hopeful. I haven't seen enough to say I'm optimistic yet, but I'm hopeful. Okay. And certainly as long as people are talking, there's still a real chance this could happen.
When is, like, someone like you, the network, when do they get involved in these negotiations? I know most of it's between the promoters and whatnot. When do you kind of come in and say, hey, I'm in here, the closer. All right, let's get this done.
We come in whenever we can be helpful. And sometimes that's early on, either as sort of bringing the parties together or sort of acting as a go-between, or if there's, you know, a financial role or some other aspect that, you know, we can be critical in providing. There's some gaps that we can fill in. So, again, I don't want to go too far into the discussions. Right. I think there are parts of this that we can be helpful in. And that we have been helpful in sort of answering questions and providing, you know, some potential solutions to some of the challenges. But again, I'm not going to be part of it just for the sake of being part of it. You know, if we're going to be involved, it's because there's a role for us to play and there's a contribution to help the process get to conclusion.
So you 10 years now at Showtime, which is crazy. 20 years in boxing. Which I always say boxing's like dog years, so you can, like, times that by 7. So you've been in boxing for a long time now, Stephen. What is one thing you love about the sport, and what is one thing that drives you crazy about boxing?
One thing I love about the sport is, look, I think it's an obvious answer. I think this is probably be it for boxing fans. It's sort of the fight night feeling.
Yeah.
I'd say that's one of my top two things is one, and I've been fortunate enough to be at a lot of high level sporting events, from Super Bowls to, you know, Final Fours and other things. To me, there's really nothing like the feel of a big fight night, whether it's Vegas or Barclays Center or, you know, or otherwise. It's just a different adrenaline. It's a different energy that night. And I think any real fight fan who has been fortunate enough to be at a live event probably feels the same way. Yeah. And the other is the long-term process, is to, you know, see Deontay Wilder go from sort of a somewhat skinny, awkward kid that we were, you know, taking a chance on, you know, and doing some local fights in Alabama and otherwise, to see him become, you know, champion of the world and headlining pay-per-views. Or Tank Davis, to see him go from, you know, fighting off TV as someone who looked like he was, you know, probably 14 or 15 years old, to now being one of the biggest names in the sport. I think the difficulty or the you know, one thing I'm not a fan of is the negativity. Yeah. And, you know, criticism where it's warranted is absolutely, you know, fine. And I think self-inspection, you know, being introspective about, you know, all of our roles in the sport and the sport overall is a great thing. But there's sort of, and I've said it to you before It seems like boxing fans are a little bit more maybe cannibalistic than a lot of other fans. I'm not saying that we need to put on a happy face and pretend everything's okay, but I think we're a little bit more of, you know, maybe they're traumatized. Maybe we're just a little bit more critical, but I see a lot of negativity around the sport at a time when there's a lot to be positive about.
Yeah. And I try to highlight the positives, and I get called an optimist, like too much, which I think is ridiculous, but I try. All right. I really appreciate it. One last thing. We had a lot of audience questions, but we don't have time for them. We only have one. This is from Boxeo Marshy. Who would you rather go out for a couple of pints with? Bob Arum, Eddie Hearn, or Dana White?
Bob Arum, Eddie Hearn, or Dana White? I would have to say Bob. Yeah. And it's not meant as a slight as the other two, but Bob has, you know, a range of experiences going back to his days as a lawyer through some of boxing's golden era through today. He's got a really interesting perspective. He's obviously a very intelligent guy. We haven't always gotten along throughout the years, but that doesn't stop me from recognizing his history and his in the sport and all the things that he's experienced as part of it.
Yeah, you could charge for that. You could charge for that podcast. You two sitting there at a bar, exactly. At a bar stool. All right, Stephen Espinosa, big schedule coming out, huge fights coming to Showtime. Always appreciate you chopping it up here on Inside Boxing Live. Thank you.
No, great to be with you, Dan.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, it was a fun interview with Mr. Espinosa. A lot of information there, Chris. You weren't part of it, but I did bring you up in the interview. Interesting times. Showtime Sports not going anywhere, says Stephen Espinosa. It's going to fold into an app just like DAZN or ESPN Plus, just like a lot of sports are heading that way. It is a little strange, though, to hear that Showtime could potentially not have boxing anymore.
Yeah, hopefully it's a situation where they're just getting with the times and just folding into the apps, because that's where everything is nowadays. And it's really tough for me to tell the older generation, you know, my fans who are older than me about how to watch, you know, my fights recently.
Very hard.
Like, yeah, what are you fighting on, Chris? Oh, it's an app.
DAZN?
You know, like, where do I find that? How do I get that? It's on your phone. It's like, ugh.
What is this, you know? DAZN?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully they're just getting with the times and just moving with the flow of where we are in terms of sports entertainment. And it's not moving, exiting our zeitgeist like HBO did. Which still hurts my heart. I thank God I won my title there, because at least I can say that.
Yeah, but, dude, believe me, I was a big part of my life as HBO. Times. But yeah, it's good times for now. We'll see what this year, how this rest of the year performs for Showtime. But they will have the fights on Paramount Plus Showtime app next year, and we'll keep it going with that. How about this, though? I did ask him about the who would you rather. This is actually a fan question. Who would you rather have a beer with? Arum, Eddie Hearn, or Dana White? All three have had major beefs with Espinosa. He went with Bob Arum. That's who I would want to hang out with.
Not surprised to hear that at all.
Right? That's exactly who I want to hang out with. All right, man.
I'd go with Dana White, though, because I've had a beer with Bob, and it was awesome. But I would like to.
I'd get into an argument with Dana White. I'd be like, power slap sucks. And he would slap, and he would slap me. And I'd be like, dude, why didn't you pay Francis Ngannou? Because he's the real champ.
Off air, if you got enough beers, he might agree with you. But he's like, I'm making money.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm headed to the warehouse. John Boy Media Blitzball Battle 3 is being recorded. I'm playing. I'm pitching. I'm hitting. I'm playing with Drew Davis, who's like 15 years younger than me. Do you have any advice or inspiration so I can come back $10,000 richer? Because that's the prize.
First of all, you have a very interesting job there, Mr. Dan.
Someone's got to do it. My family doesn't understand it. My girlfriend doesn't understand it. Her family's like, what is he doing? I'm playing blitz. I'm a professional blitzball player, damn it.
With an opportunity to win $10,000.
Right.
So suck it.
Suck it. Run a 5-3-40. So what? You have any advice?
Yeah, I mean, you've got one thing over all these kids. Experience. Yeah,
experience.
Keep your eyes on the field. Head on a swivel. Watch all these kids, see their tells.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even know they're giving their game away. So
that's true.
Just play it smart.
The main thing for me is body preservation.
Yeah, preservation.
Preservation, yeah. I got to, like, my arm, I got ice routine, I got a stretching routine. Not going out after the games because we're all staying at a hotel all week. Not getting into any of the liquor.
You guys doing any drug testing?
PEDs. One of our guys is on PEDs, Dan Rourke.
I would say maybe a little shot of test right before you get out there. A little bit of
run through the wall.
Some Adderall. Just you know, really, really pump it up.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. All right, man. We'll talk next week. As always, keep your hands up. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.